You know, it's funny, isn't it? We're bombarded with environmental news constantly. Climate change, pollution, the whole bit.
It's definitely overwhelming sometimes.
It is. And honestly, sometimes it feels like a broken record, you know? We hear about the problems, we see the pictures, but are things actually getting better?
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that sense of like awareness fatigue. We know the stakes are high, but it's hard to see the progress.
Right. It's like we're stuck. And that's what makes this deep dive so interesting, at least to me. We're looking at a review of this book, was Treibt die Umweltkrise, and it's in German, by the way, which basically translates to what's driving the environmental
A
crisis.
philosophical exploration, I hear.
Exactly, by Koen van der Wal. And this review, it really digs into this question of like, what's really at the root of all this? Like, is it just bad policies? Is it just us not recycling enough? Or is there something deeper going on?
And the review seems to suggest it's a lot deeper than we might think.
Way deeper, like fundamentally different ways of seeing the world kind of deep.
Exactly. It argues that it's not just about individual actions, but about our collective mindset. The
Oh.
way we think about the environment in the first place.
Mindset. Okay, so that's a loaded word. What do they mean by that, and how does that affect something as tangible as, you know, the planet?
So the review talks about how in the modern world, we often see nature as something separate from ourselves, almost like a passive backdrop, not the life support system it actually is.
It's like we're here and nature's over there.
Exactly. And the review contrasts this modern view with other ways of thinking about our relationship with nature, like, for example, the perspective of Chief Seattle.
Oh, right, the famous speech.
Yeah, he talked about how everything is interconnected, how the earth is our mother, whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth. And that's a very different way of seeing things.
It's that idea of Mittwoald, right?
Yeah, we
He's
will.
like, instead of the environment, which already sounds like it's something separate from us, it's our Mittwoald. It's the world we're a part of that we share with everything else.
And that we depend on, of course.
Totally. I mean, imagine if we all truly saw it that way, our Mittwoald. I feel like that could change a lot.
It would fundamentally change how we approach pretty much everything. Because right now, we talk about the environment as if it's some external thing.
Right, like it's out there somewhere and not, you know, the air we breathe.
Exactly. It's not separate.
Yeah.
It's us, we are
Yep.
part of it, not apart from it.
And this is where it gets really fascinating, I think. The review, it actually traces this disconnect, this us versus nature thing, all the way back to like philosophy.
Oh, interesting. Which philosophers are we talking about?
Well, the review focuses on what's often called the Cartesian worldview.
Descartes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think, therefore, I am Descartes. Not exactly the first guy you think of when you think of like saving the rainforest.
Right, not exactly known for his environmental activism.
No. But the review makes this point that, you know, his idea, while brilliant, ended up having this kind of unintended consequence.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How does Descartes tie into the environmental crisis?
So Descartes was all about reason, right? Like separating the mind from the body. And over time, this led to this idea that humans, well, we're somehow above nature. Like we're the thinkers, and nature is just this thing to be thought about.
Instead of being part of it, we became separate from it.
Exactly. And once that happened, it's like we were given permission to treat nature as this passive thing, something to be controlled and used for our own purposes.
It's like seeing a forest and just thinking, oh, there's a bunch of timber we can use. Not a complex ecosystem.
Exactly. Like nature as a resource became the default setting.
And not just in how we thought about it, but how we built our entire economic
Oh,
system.
no, absolutely.
This idea of unlimited growth, competition.
Right.
It all stems from this Cartesian worldview that the review is talking about. It's like we're on this treadmill of more, more, more. And it's like, more what? And at what cost?
It's like, you know, when you get a new phone
Yeah.
and you're excited about it for like 5 minutes,
Yeah.
and then boom, there's a newer model and you gotta have it.
We've internalized this need for constant consumption.
Yes. And on a planetary scale, that's a huge problem. It's unsustainable.
Completely. And it all goes back to this mindset, this worldview that sees nature as ultimately subservient to our needs and desires.
So we're trapped in this cycle, right? Thinking about nature as something separate and then acting accordingly. But is there any way out? I mean, it's kind of daunting when you think about it. Like shifting our entire worldview, that's a tall order.
It does seem like a huge task, doesn't it? But the book is surprisingly optimistic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It argues that a change in mindset is not only possible, but essential if we want to create a more sustainable future.
Okay, so then how do we actually do that? How do we go from this, like, nature is separate view to actually getting it, like, deep down that we're part of this whole system?
Well, the book talks about the need for what it calls a recalibrated humanism.
Recalibrated humanism. Okay, that sounds kind of academic. What does that even mean?
So it's not about abandoning humanism altogether. It's about shifting away from this idea that humans are somehow above or outside of nature.
So less humans are in charge and more like we're all in this together.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our well-being is completely intertwined with the well-being of the planet. Yeah. We can't have one without the other.
Makes sense. But the review also mentioned something about a different kind of economics. How does that fit in?
Yeah, the book argues that we need economic models that prioritize human well-being and de-ecological sustainability, not just endless economic growth.
So not just swapping out one resource for another greener one.
Right. It's a more fundamental shift. It's about asking, what does a truly thriving society look like? And making sure our economic systems support that, not just the bottom line.
Wow. So it's like everything we've been talking about, it all comes back to this need for a different perspective.
Exactly. A different way of seeing ourselves in relation to the world around us.
It's been a fascinating deep dive. Really makes you think.
It really does. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about these ideas, but the real challenge is, what do we do with them?
Right. How do we take this understanding and make it real in our own lives?
Exactly. How do our everyday choices reflect this sense of interconnectedness, this understanding that we're part of something much larger than ourselves?
It's a question worth asking ourselves, that's for sure. And on that note, I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us on this deep dive. It's been quite a journey, and we hope you'll keep exploring these ideas with us. Until next time.